Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Yes, hello and welcome to Saturday at Triple M NRL. But it's not about Saturday, it's about Wednesday, State of Origin 1. That is what everybody's thinking about. Certainly there's two gentlemen in the studio with me this afternoon who have been there, done that. I'm talking about Wendell Saylor and Ryan Girdler. Dell, pump me up. How does it feel just a few days out from Origin?
Oh, it feels great, mate. You can just see it building. There's so many twists and turns, and happy for the debutants in both teams. Certainly happy for Queensland. They got a pretty fair squad, and no one really
great team
rates Queensland. They got a great team.
I mean, this is where he starts. No one. Hang on a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you hear that?
I heard it.
No one really rates Queensland. I sat with Gordon Tallis on Sunday. He's like, no one gives us a chance.
But they don't.
Who doesn't? Everyone does.
People going, oh, clean sweep, mate. I'll go and play golf. The boys down there going, oh, mate, you guys are going to do it tough.
Just mates of yours.
Just mates. Mm. And then you turn on the TV and New South Wales, they got so much to choose from, but it's getting the right mix. And I think Queensland, even though they've got the right mix, I think in the forwards, I look at your forward pack and it's going to be hard to contain not just your forwards but also the bench, you know. And that's why
your coach has already said you're going to win State of Origin. And we'll get to that in detail about Kevin and what he's up to in a minute.
Yeah.
He's already said you're going to win. So you can't claim underdogs. If the coach says you're not underdogs, you're not underdogs.
Well, that's different for Queensland. But also, Kevy, like, that's not normally the Kevy Walters I know. You know, he was my...
I don't want to get into Kevy just yet.
Okay,
save your ammunition on Kevy.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just telling you, you are favourites to win. Wouldn't you think,
Ryan? Definitely. Like, I mean, without being sarcastic, I mean... Definitely the first one up there. I mean, games two and three, it's a little bit different story. But I think after their performance in game three last year, they were dominant.
Yep. We were gone by that. Series was over by then.
See, they won't even listen to it.
No.
And then, so the first one this year on home soil with the quality that they have in their 17 or 21-man squad, whichever it is, I think they have to be favourites, Tony. There's no doubt that they're favourites.
Mate, DCE hasn't played for like 7 or 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, he's fit. He said he's 100% fit. He's ready to go. He's the captain.
Yeah, he's the captain of your state.
Yeah, I'm happy for him, like, that he got the opportunity.
Of course he's going to be ready.
Yeah, but I know. But when
he's never been more ready in his life.
Yeah, but you know when you haven't played and, like, you get that game sort of, you know, you miss that sort of game fitness. That's what...
I've missed that for 57 years now.
That's what's going to be tough for Cherry at different stages. And as our fierce leader, he's going to have to lead from the front. So, you know, at the moment, I look at your team and your captain and you guys, mate, Boyd Cordner, you guys are setting a very good standard.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how many games you've played, you know, in the early part of the season when you go into an Origin, it's a different ball game. So I don't think there's any advantage at all. I think if you could have – you could actually sit out the entire start of the season and just – prepare yourself for Origin, go in, and you wouldn't be disadvantaged, Tony.
Did you notice how he said your team and your state? Do you have the same ban as Queensland and Kevy Walters? And again, we're going to talk about this in detail in a minute. Do you have a ban? Have you banned yourself from saying Blues? And
No, man. Origin for me is all about, you know, obviously your state, you love your state, but I like talking about who you're playing against. You know, New South Wales, you've grown up, like, hating them, the rivalry. Yeah, so Blues, you know,
that wouldn't have worked for us, Tame, when we were in Kent, because we used to have songs made up about the individual players that we used to sing in the bonding sessions.
Really?
I mean, we were talking about Queensland the whole time. I won't sing you any on air, but I can do that
involved
in the breaks.
I'd love to hear that.
Was there any on me?
Yeah.
There was a couple on you.
Oh, do you remember them?
No, I don't.
For the breaks, I'm talking about.
For the breaks.
No. I'll tell you.
Were you involved in lyrics?
There's a couple of specials I'll tell you in the break, Tony. You'll enjoy it.
Were you involved in lyrics?
No, I wasn't involved.
Are we allowed to swear on this radio show?
We're not allowed to swear.
They were definitely.
Write down what you're going to say and hold it up.
It starts with W, ends with R.
No.
Okay.
No. Hey, but they
wafer.
Were, that was certainly, they were already sort of part of the fabric of New South Wales Cairns way before I got in there. Because the guy that we sing mainly about was, you know, a player maybe in the 80s and 90s. So.
Right. Wally.
Yeah. No, it wasn't about Wally. No, but you can't tick him off.
Okay. Alan Langer.
Gordy. You're just going to sit there.
You got the game face on?
Okay. In the break. If you want to come and drop in the break, it's going to be a terrific show.
But what are they doing up there, Wendell? Can I just ask you?
We'll talk about that later.
I just need to know now.
No. Hold your fire. We're going to get there in a minute.
They're unrecognisable, the Queenslanders, Tony.
I know.
Keep your powder dry, mate.
We'll talk about Kevy Walters very, very shortly. Let me just tell you what else is happening, because it is a massive show ahead of Origin Wednesday night. Sadly, as you know, if you're listening last week, Emma Lawrence isn't with us. She's somewhere in the Hunter Valley waiting.
Did you get a promotion already?
Oh, well, she's
See what happens when you work
already.
With good people, Tony? Exactly. You move up the ladder. What happened to us?
I know.
We're just helping other people's careers.
Still pushing people up from the bottom rung. It's good. Nice work if you can get it. She's in the Hunter Valley somewhere waiting for Zach to propose to her. I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
That's right. Yep.
If that's going to happen today. If it does, she will call us him. If that does happen, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to a whole host of people who are involved in Wednesday night. Jai Arrow from the Maroons will join us, as will Paul Vaughan. I think we're going to talk to Victor Radley as well. The great Justin Hodges is on board. Mal Meninga as well. Ben Dobbin from Inside. Gee, there's a lot of, now look at it.
What a show. A lot
of Queensland stuff.
Yeah.
Can they talk about New South Wales? Because can we ask Mal and Hodgo and that question about New South Wales?
We can ask Blake.
Or are they going to call them the other state?
The other state.
Okay.
We'll talk to Blake Ferguson.
The people from down south.
Yeah, that's right. South on the border.
Or they could just refer to us as last year's winners.
And mate, you guys deserve that. And that's why
last year's winners.
I'll call you last year's winners. You deserve it.
All right, then. Well, what about potentially this year's winners?
Yeah, and that too.
Okay. Blake Ferguson will join us next. I should just quickly run as a look through the Tyre Power scoreboard, what's happened so far, because there is a round of the NRL going on as well, Penrith, too good.
Just because the Dragons aren't playing, Tony, doesn't mean that Panthers can't enjoy their little run of success at the moment. Don't take that away from us. We crushed the Eagles on Thursday night.
I know you did. 15,
we bum smacked them.
Yeah. Well, the Dragons have snapped their 5-match losing streak with a bye.
Yeah.
Get 2 points. Hey,
you guys are going so bad this year, you'd probably get an injury in the bye, Tony.
You haven't had much luck, have you guys, Tone?
No, if we get a bye-related injury, that will absolutely cap it. 26-14, the Eels over South Sydney. We'll chat with Blake Ferguson, who copped a bit of an injury as well. We'll talk to him. Gee, there's so much ahead. Reedy will join us from 1 o'clock, so we'll get his mail, but he'll stick around for the next 2 hours, which is brilliant as well. So much ahead right here. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Bad medicine. Is that what Queensland has been delivered? Bad medicine with this new approach from Supercoach Kevin Walters to how he goes about talking about Queensland, more specifically talking about that other state and that other team. A coach whisperer has allegedly been involved at some cost. I think the QRL was surprised at how much he charges per hour.
Yeah, last year,
$5,500 or something.
Yeah, mate.
Not sure with Kevy, it might be free of charge.
Or you get a bit of a rate.
Cut price.
But mate, if it's $5,500, I know what I could do with $5,500.
Do you?
What?
Do you want to list them?
No, I don't want to list them.
By the end of the show, if you could list the things you would do with $5,500, that would be terrific reading at the back end.
No, I don't really want to do that. I'll tell you off air.
Okay. Right. So I'm getting sung out off air, and you'll tell me what you're going to do with $5,500. It's going to be great fun.
Anyway, regardless of what this guy's trying to charge, I mean, for me, are we going into this now, Tony?
Yeah, we are.
I mean, it's just kind of against the fabric of what Queensland are all about.
Do you want to listen to, let's have a listen to Kevy Walters, because he was, when he first fronted the media, the questions were kind of obvious and simple, one would have thought, but it was immediate that we saw a change in his demeanour and the way, even the language that he used. Have a listen to this first one.
Kevin, what did you make of the New South Wales team, mate?
To be honest with you, mate, I'm here to talk about the Queensland team. This is a great Queensland team that we've selected, and all of my focus and all of my energy in these next 10 days are going to be purely on the Maroons.
Gee, he was upbeat.
I think he had like a couple of double espressos just before.
This is the thing, right? Yeah, so they've just paid a coach $5,500 to come in.
You don't know that.
For an hour or whatever. Okay, so allegedly. So knowing what the concept is all about, and knowing that, you know, the part of the build-up and everything about, you know, selling tickets, because I don't even think Suncorp is sold out. The whole to-ing and fro-ing, the coach should know that it's going to be incredibly hard to give Kevy the task to not talk about Queensland. It puts him in a position straight away that I believe has made Kevy nervous and react the way that he has, because he's going into these interviews now not necessarily probably thinking about the message he wants to get out, but thinking about the things that he doesn't want to say.
Yep.
And that's why I think we're seeing interviews that of a guy that doesn't really resemble the Kevy Walters that we all know and love.
What have you, and you're a guy who obviously knows Kevin Walters very well, Del. What did you make? But as a Queenslander?
Oh, look, for me, I don't really understand why he needs a coach whisperer. I understand, mate, as a coach, you go outside, you know, the circle, outside the square sometimes to get, information or help and that, which, you know, a lot of great coaches have done over the years. But I just, for me, when I see that, it's just, for me, I'm uneasy. I'm backing Kevy to the hilt, like, because of the team and that. But it just, to me, it just didn't seem like Kevy. You know, he was our captain in the 2000 grand final. Yep. I always had, massive respect for Kevy. And even now, just the way that he's, I know he's the man that everyone's looking at the moment, and DC is the captain, but he just didn't look comfortable, and you know, he brought it back to just not want to talk about New South Wales and that. And then what happens is that transfers to the players. You know, look, a young guy like Joe Offengowie, and then you've got Cam Munster, and they're trying not to say New South Wales or Blues.
Yeah.
Mate, State of Origin, when I was a kid growing up, mate, I went to school on, like, just saying, you know, like, if we beat the Blues, I bet New South Wales going, oh, mate, you, the next day you couldn't wait to get to school and talk about it. Yep. And the more I think you subconsciously go, you know what, don't mention the Blues, don't mention New South Wales, those young guys become a bit uncomfortable.
It's like, don't hit it in the water and go straight into the water.
I said that. Mate, first tee, mate, you know there's water on the right. You go, okay, in your head you go, okay, you want to go down the left-hand side here. You know what? Don't get in the water. You're thinking about it. You can see those interviews. Those guys should be just talking about their passion growing up, what they know about Origin. Obviously, it's going to be Queensland watching Darren Lockyer, JT and that, but all of a sudden you've got this mind games they're playing.
Yeah.
Oh, if Kevy wanted to do that, I reckon go and do it and hide your little coach whisperer on the side, but then implementing it into the whole Queensland system. If he wins the series, good luck to him, but he's put a fair bit of pressure on himself.
I just hope that the three guys, the three debutants that go into the game actually know who they're playing on Wednesday night. because a lot of our build-up was actually made around, you know, having a beer and having discussions about Queensland. And like it or not, developing the hatred that comes with State of Origin within those conversations. Talking about Wendell and Gordon and those guys and doing it like with disgust and getting yourself ready to play. And I don't think in a preparation into an Origin can be as authentic or as true as what if you're not actually having those discussions.
I'm sure that within the walls of the Queensland Origin camp, they are talking New South Wales up a storm. I'm sure that's where it's happening. What I imagine this is about not giving them the public space. And look, this guy has done it before with some success. He's done it with Michael Checker and the Wallabies. So the Wallabies, Michael Checker would always
confirmed?
Refer.
Did they beat the All Blacks?
No, they've never beaten the All Blacks.
Well, there you go.
But he did it where he called them New Zealand rather than the All Blacks because the All Blacks was a powerful name and it meant so much in the history of rugby. So he would just refer. We're playing New Zealand this weekend. So it just took a bit of the mystique away from them. He did it with Graham Arnold when he was at Sydney FC. So when they played Melbourne, they didn't call them Melbourne Victory because that's such a positive, empowering name. They just called them Melbourne.
Melbourne.
So Victory was never mentioned in terms of Melbourne. So you can see mentally how that works. The problem I have is that when it becomes such a, we're out there, this is what we're doing, it kind of opens itself up to being a bit silly.
But
within the their own walls, and they go, well, this is mentally, this is what we're going to do. I think that's okay.
Yeah, but no, but then I'm watching Channel 9, and I'm watching guys like JT and then Billy sort of buy into it too. Like, I think when we're in this position, I think even like now, someone said to me, "Oh, are you going to say the word New South Wales and Blues other than you guys?" I'm going to say yes, I am, because one, I think State of Origin, as much as I love Queensland, nothing better than the Maroons and Blues going against State of Origin time. That's what I think about New South Wales and Queensland.
The other thing,
actually believe, boys, that the first three or four days of the whole campaign has been focused on some guy that's come in and told Queensland not to talk about New South Wales? So if it's a ploy by Kevy, to throw us off the scent of something, and they've got Cameron Smith say waiting in the wings or whatever it may be. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether the coach whisperer is an absolute genius and has taken all the focus off, you know, the players and those sorts of things and given everyone a break, because all the chat and discussion has been around, you know, disappointment of this so-called coach whisperer.
The thing is that Kevy's now coming across as weirder than Freddie.
Yes, and that's hard to do.
So Freddie having blokes holding hands and walking barefoot along the grass is nothing.
But the good thing about Freddie is Freddie's authentic weird. Whereas Kevy at the moment looks like he's just sticking his toe in the water.
He's manufactured
and he doesn't look so comfortable, does he?
He's plastic weird.
Freddie's just so authentic weird.
Actually, on another positive note, which we'll get to, right now actually. mate, it's about time, but the great man Alan Langer, he has got a statue coming up at Suncorp Stadium.
It's being unveiled.
Yes, unveiled. I think it's going to be on Tuesday just before lunch, before the Fogs lunch.
Gee.
I don't know if that's common knowledge yet, but well done to the Queensland government. But
wouldn't need much bronze.
No, for a long time, I'm seeing all these statues and Lockie and all that, and I'm just thinking, for the guys that I play with, and we've all been through this, Alan Langer, for me, epitomises what State of Origin's about. And I think, I don't know whether it's because he's been a bit of a larrikin for so long, and you know all the guys love him, Queensland love him, and I think it's about time that
absolutely,
a statue.
I agree. And on the back page, we use Alfie regularly around Origin time, and he's brilliant. And that's the sort of thing that makes me struggle with what's going with Kevy Walters is that I see him in the same kind of light where that they're absolutely serious. When they play football, they do it brilliantly. But they also have that way, that manager, like, I don't know, just switching off and making other people feel comfortable around them.
Yeah.
Not tense, not with his shoulders up, you know. And that's what he does. And I thought that's what Kevy did as well. So that's an odd thing. Yes, Del.
Can you, the best thing that when Kevy and Alf working together and talking about this coach whisperer now, I wonder if he's in and around camp or whatever, because Alf is that sort of guy who would probably give Kevy a bit of stick about certain things. Yeah. I remember when we used to play, say, like the Dogs on a Friday night, and it was, you know, and we would have got beaten. And then those two, you know, we'd had a big night out and we're flying back to Brisbane. And then Alf would get up and he goes, what about Kevy last night, boys? His shoulders must be sore from all those tackles that he made last night. And then he goes, oh, what about you, Alf? You didn't want to play last night. There was a few races on. And watching that banner takes the pressure off everyone else. And it was quite funny. So I wonder how that dynamic works.
You think they're feeling the pressure up there, Wendell? Is that what you're saying?
I think Kevy's a bit nervous this year. I think for him personally, obviously, because of the Broncos thing that sort of fell over, I think him as a coach too, I think, you know, he wants to coach an NRL team at some stage, but also, you know, for the Queensland people and for himself, when you win the series, people just go, oh, you expect to win. But I think because he hasn't got those superstar players, and this is Kevy's DNA now that he's putting on this Queensland team. So
I also think, Del, in relation to the coaching aspect of it, I mean, Queensland have obviously had the guys like Smith and Cronk and Slater and for such a long period of time. And whether or not how much influence they've had over the group when it come into Origin time will only be known by those within those four walls. But now, especially on the back of, you know, last year, those guys retiring, you've got to think that a lot of that pressure now will be coming back onto the coach and onto the people that needs to bring in, like a Ponga, a Daly, Cherry Evans, a Munster, and a Hunt, all from different franchises, and then in a short space of time needs to bring that together with a game plan, implement so many different things to make a successful campaign. They couldn't do it last year. Yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
And so this year, I guess, from a perspective of Kevy, where he sits, it's like, well, this is a real litmus test for Kevy, I think, in the way that he coaches and how he delivers this football side into this Origin series.
Also picking players and playing in that position. Like, you become a genius if it's a tick in that. And, you know, Ben Hunt obviously going to hooker. And Ben Hunt came out this last couple of weeks and said, you know, I would rather play in the halves. You know, Michael Morgan, he's starting to play really good football in the halves.
Yep.
Put him in the centres, you know, those sort of things. You know, Joe Arrow going from back row, which we'll talk to later, into the front row.
All right, plenty more to get to. I just want to play one more bit from Kevy from that media conference, because apart from the whole idea of coming over to Harry Potter and, you know, not mentioning Voldemort, he who must not be named, he really made it clear what he thought Origin was, and again, setting a level of how confident he is.
I'm ready. We're ready. This is war. We are ready. This Queensland team is going to be so prepared for this match. We're playing at home and we're going to put on a performance that everyone is going to be proud of, including the players, the fans, the sponsors. It's on.
Yeah. What was that movie? And I don't know if you can answer this, Tane, where that guy, he goes on all those dates and he's got that whisperer in his ear, and he sets up that little piece in his ear, and someone sits in the bushes and tells him what to say. Maybe the coach whisperer's been wired Kevy up, and it's coming from behind the bush.
Yeah, Will Smith, it's Hitch.
Yeah. I think it comes from the classic Cyrano de Bergerac, is where originally.
That's what I'm thinking about, Tony.
Of course you would know.
I love the book.
A fellow studier of Cyrano de Bergerac, Blake Ferguson, joins us next. Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. Brent Reed will join us at 1 o'clock. We've got wall-to-wall superstars who are going to have a chat with us all the way through to 3 o'clock. As you said, obviously State of Origin is front of mind for everybody next Wednesday, Suncorp Stadium. But the NRL round does continue. The Eels, too good for South Sydney, 26-14. South, obviously, slightly undermanned, both through Origin representation and some injuries. But the Eels needed to and did get the job done, thanks in no small part to our next guest, Blake Ferguson. Before we speak to Blake, I think we should just catch up with what happened. He was injured last night. We called them, I think, in the business a low blow. It was a low blow. He spoke on Triple M Radio last night. Let's have a listen.
The missus just asked me, she goes, how's your nuts? I might get lucky tonight, she reckons.
Well, like I said to you last time, let's hope the pain goes away with the swelling stage.
It was 30 seconds, the physio reckon. It's still sore now.
Just boys being boys. Yeah. And Blake happens. Ferguson joins us right now. G'day, mate.
How's it going?
Well, thank you. And obviously understanding that you are on live radio. How was your night?
Yeah, not too bad. Just kick back, relax,
Yeah.
Played a bit of Fortnite.
Oh, mate, awesome. Absolutely. And, yeah. And you're okay physically?
Yeah, been feeling pretty good. Obviously, a bit tired. The CNS is not feeling the best today, but yeah, back in the training this week and get ready for Saturday night.
It was a big game and a good game for you guys, important for you to get the job done. And I guess it was also the manner of it. I know that Brad Arthur kind of looked at the forwards and said that they weren't going into physical contest. They were kind of moving away from them. That certainly wasn't the case last night.
They definitely put the shoulders in, and the line speed was excellent. That you could see it from the wing there. And yeah, it was really good to see a reaction out of the guys in the middle there. They laid a great platform in attack and defence.
Hey, Fergo, it's Del, mate. How you going, son?
Yeah, it's Del. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. Hey, mate, I love the way that you carry the ball when you're on. But look, for me, at the moment, I think your best position, when you play your best, you're on the wing, you're carrying the ball, you're hard to stop. And even at the moment, I think last couple of weeks, you're starting to get back to where you were before you broke your nose and did your rib cartilage. That took a bit of a toll on you, didn't it, mate?
Yeah, it definitely did. Dented my confidence a little bit. I don't have any shortness of that, but
just in
regards to the footy, and I just wanted to really make sure. This week I didn't have any painkilling injections or anything. I felt really good out there, and I know that I get targeted every week just because of the way that I do carry the ball. But I'm just finding ways to just be a little bit more physical than what I usually am, and I feel like I've ran onto the ball with a bit more speed this week, and it's sort of helping my carries in the contact.
Well, Fergo, we go back a long way, and not many people would remember this. And I remember your debut, and I think Wayne said to me, he goes, mate, you're marking a young guy, Blake Ferguson. He's got some real good footwork, and obviously I was just going, oh, mate, whatever, I don't even know this kid. And I think one of your first carries, you beat me with this footwork. I think I did the splits, and I was that angry that I went and chased you around the park and put a bit of a shot on you, and it's good to see...
I remember it. And you know what? That was the hardest hit I've ever been hit by. I'm not getting up for nothing. Because I stopped and I jinked, and you're coming from behind and you had red in your eyes.
Yes.
Then coming out of your ears, I was like, he's going to just rip me here. You got me and just upended me and lifted me.
I hope that footage never sees a light of day, I'm glad, because I was quite embarrassed, mate. I did the split, so yeah.
Fergo, when he's angry and coming from behind, you just got to look out. You just got to look out.
I scored a try on you that night, too. I scored a try on you that night.
Yeah, you did, too.
That shark part.
In the left-hand corner, mate. Yeah, you did.
Hey, Fergo, obviously a little bit unfortunate not to be in camp at the moment with the New South Wales side. What do you make of the side, and will you be obviously supporting the Blues on Wednesday?
I'll obviously be supporting the Blues. Pretty unfortunately, I didn't get picked, but, that's just the way it goes. And, obviously, it's time for the new guys to stand up and, get a serious win this year. But, I wish them all the best. I'll be there for game two and game three if they need me.
There was a little bit of a breakdown last year between you and the Blues hierarchy. You sort that out in the off-season? Was it a phone call to Freddie and you made yourself available? What happened?
Oh, I just gave him a call probably around 3 rounds in this year, and just touched base, cleared the air. Obviously they went the other way with young Kotrick and J-Moz coming out of retirement there. I wish them all the best, honestly, and I hope the boys get the win next Wednesday and keep the shield in New South Wales.
You've obviously been looking after yourself. You've spoken about it publicly. You decide, don't have a drink, all those kinds of things, to make sure that you're playing the best standard of football, which you are. How tough has that been? How good has that been for you?
Well, it hasn't been tough at all, to be honest. I done it last year and sort of worked. So, this year just always going to be the same thing every year. And I just enjoy it. It's something that... is easy. It only takes 50-odd days to create a habit. And after the first couple of months, it's sweet. After the off-season, you have a few beers, have a bit of a drink with your mates and your schoolmates from back home. But once you get back in the train, it's time to knuckle down and focus on what's more important. And the most important thing is my job. And that's playing football and playing it to the best of my ability. Living up to my own expectations that I put on myself.
Well, Fergo, I love what you've been about lately, but there's another bloke who's always supported you, and, you know, going through tough times, you always need that good support, family and friends, but you must be stoked for Joel Thompson. He got the captain beside his name for Manly the other night, and always leads from the front, Joel ETA.
Yeah, he does lead from the front with his actions and his words. Some of the words are a bit outlandish, but, you know, I'm really proud of Tommy. You know, he's come a long way since the days when we were playing in Canberra together and in the All-Stars and stuff, and you know, he's a great family man. He's doing so much good work outside of football with the mental health stuff. And, you know, I couldn't have been more proud of him. I look up to him as a big brother. And, you know, him and his family are such a good family. And, it speaks volumes of the bloke getting the captaincy. And, yeah, I'm so happy for him, to be honest.
Obviously, there was pictures of you when you broke your nose that were quite terrifying for people on television. But I think last night's might have been just as ugly. It was a Manasi, who the reserve hooker, who broke his nose in the warm-up, had the black electrical tape wrapped around him. He looked a picture as well for the Sea Eagles.
Yeah, he put up a photo on Instagram.
Yeah.
And he tagged me in it, so I just reposted it. And I was having a yarn with him over Instagram. Is his name Manasi? I just gave him a tip and said, mate, it's going to be sore for a couple of weeks. Just make sure you tread carefully your trainer. You don't want to be getting a sore nose during the week. Just prepare to play and you'll be fine.
Yeah, you're having to tread carefully on a whole range of fronts at the moment.
I know you've given yourself a few nicknames over the past few years and stuff. So your latest big nickname for you is the Big Dog. Is that right?
Hey.
You've been naming yourself the Big Dog, I heard, when you're out there. Josh Mansell was saying that you sort of call yourself the Big Dog when you're out there. Is that right?
Saucy's off his head.
Blake Ferguson.
Saucy can talk it up as well. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I love it, mate. The more the better.
Blake Ferguson, always good to talk to you, buddy. I hope you mend well, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too, buddy. Yeah. There he is, Blake Ferguson, joining us right here. Saturday Triple M NRL next. The decision by some of the Origin players, the Indigenous players, not to sing the national anthem. We'll get there after this. As Triple M rocks the footy, as we like to do, particularly on a Saturday afternoon, thanks to Blake Ferguson. I had a chat with him. We'll soon chat with Jai Arrow. Just a reminder that any time we do conduct one of those interviews, we do it thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate. All right, Wednesday night, before that State of Origin, the national anthem will play at Suncorp Stadium as the camera pans along the faces of both the New South Wales and Queensland side. Some players will be seen to be not singing the national anthem. Some may be doing it because they don't like the word girt, or others because they've just forgotten the words, or they're concentrating on what they've got to do in the footy field. But some will be doing it because they have a reason in their mind. Cody Walker, the first to express it, the idea that it doesn't speak for Indigenous people, the national anthem, Advance Australia Fair. Latrell Mitchell has agreed with him, and Will Chambers from the Maroons had this to say.
It doesn't represent us, you know, so I think that it's only fair for our Indigenous boys and Indigenous people in general to embrace what they think's fair, you know, and if we all understood what had gone on and what's happened in the past and Australian history, well then maybe it is time for change. But at the moment, if it's not changed, well, I'm not going to acknowledge it, and I'll stand there and embrace it. Some of the other boys want to sing it, they can sing it.
I think they've conducted themselves quite perfectly throughout this entire thing. Now, it happened in the Indigenous All-Stars as well, I think, where it first happened. There hasn't been anything other than a simple protest and saying, well, this is what we believe, and an idea that it perhaps should start a conversation about whether that national anthem does represent all of us. So I think that's absolutely valid. What do you make of it, Wendell?
Oh, look, I can understand where the boys are coming from, about their culture. Me personally, look, I've always enjoyed singing the national anthem. I'm proud to be an Australian, obviously proud to be an Indigenous man. But I suppose for me, it's, you know, guys like Cody Walker and Will Chambers, Latrell, it's their own opinion, and I know why they're doing it, to recognise, obviously, our history, the Indigenous history. So I can understand. I just, at this point in time for me, I get it, and I think it's personal for everybody.
I think it's time that they do take a little bit of notice of this. You know, it means so much to these guys, and it needs to start conversations. And I think that's what it's all about. And I don't see why, you know, the time's not here. We need to, you know, make sure that everyone, every Australian feels comfortable with, you know, because that's one of the biggest moments that you'll have in your career is not just the fact that the words that you sing, but the fact that you're standing there in a moment like that in front of millions of people on TV and thousands of fans at the stadium belting out a song that represents you and your people.
Yep.
That's what it represented to me. And you know, obviously, you know, my father's, you know, from Norwegian background, mum's Irish and whatever it may be. So then my history is so much different. So that anthem was represented, you know, by me in those moments because that's what I was brought up with. But I think it's really important that these guys and everyone in our country, inclusive, can go out and belt out a song that represents them in these moments because that's what it's all about.
That's totally what it's about. And if they say it doesn't represent their culture, then it doesn't. And I would have thought, just as you say, that's a fairly important component of our society, the Indigenous component.
But can I ask this? So this was brought up in the All-Stars, so why is it waited? I didn't see that much traction.
But maybe it's because it has been done so politely, and because it is, you know, all we're seeing is, as I said, the camera going across, and many sporting events you see that and people aren't singing. You never question why they're not singing. It's not like, you know, Colin Kaepernick in the NFL taking a knee, doing those kinds of things, which suddenly would create some kind of angst, I would have thought. So it's been a very polite protest, so it probably hasn't captured the imagination as it should have. And look, and I think it's a talking point if this is what's happening. And this, after all, is an anthem that was written by a Scottish musician in 1878. Yeah. The lyrics have been changed before. The lyrics have been changed before. It was Australian Sons, Let Us Rejoice. Mm-hmm. And that was thought to be, well, wait a minute, it's not all men. So times change, so you can have a look. I mean, Judith Durham, of all people from the Seekers, she wrote a different version of it years and years ago, which kind of tried to bring, along with, you know, Indigenous musicians, and they kind of had a look at it and tried to find words that became representative of all of us. It's not a hard, you know, it's I know not. It's a hard thing to get anything across the line in this country and, you know, in many countries, but it's not a hard thing to have the chat, I wouldn't have thought, for it to be go, oh, you know, they've done that. They've done it really politely and you know, and well. They deserve for it now to become a conversation.
Agreed.
Simple as that. Plenty to come on Saturday, Triple M NRL. We're going to chat with Jai Arrow inside the Queensland camp. Thank you, Mr. Idol. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. Emma Lawrence, as we said, not here today. Brent Reed will join us shortly for the next couple of hours, plus about 1,000 guests we have lined up for you. Right now, though, it's time to play a bit of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, three in five.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the three in five.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12.
Actually, we're not going to play 3 and 5.
Oh, good.
I got to change
for the rest
halfway.
Of the year?
Yeah, good.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Wait a minute.
So when you, I hear on that every time you're saying I love Tony's segments.
Yeah.
It's a lie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't really like 3 and 5?
No, I do like 3 and 5, Tony.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to make this as easy.
I like it when it's themed.
Yeah.
And it's relevant.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just get a little bit random with it because you get lazy. And the lazy ones, I just have no time for.
I get lazy.
Sometimes you come in with a lazy attitude.
I could never say that about either of your segments.
Okay, I've got a thing for you.
That you come up with.
It's your segment.
Well, it's yours. Yeah, big note in yourself now. You're like New South Wales.
Yeah, but we bring other stuff, Tony.
Big note in myself. He's bagging me for being lazy and some of the times I put it together. And then surely I can take credit for the fact I do put it together.
Mm. Well, I'll make it easy for this week.
Where's your segment?
It's coming up later, but I'll make this segment a bit easier for us.
Is that what it's called? It's coming up later.
Yeah. Ready? Origin. Origin's a good one. I reckon a good theme for you.
Mate. Yeah.
There you go.
What do you think? We haven't done an origin. 3 and 5 started.
Given it's Wednesday's origin.
Oh, did it?
It started because it was the 35th origin, state of origin. It was the anniversary. Okay. So we had 3 in 5.
We'll make the best of the best about origin.
Yeah, it's too much info. You're going too
good
far
thinking.
Back.
Thank good thinking. Thank you. Okay. You know what? I decided to make this, and it's not really in a 3 and 5 style. Okay. It's more in that one of that kind of random things you were talking about.
Beautiful.
You don't like, Ryan.
Okay.
We talked earlier, just a moment ago, about the anthem protest.
Oh, my goodness.
So I thought, well, why the hell wouldn't we play a game called Whose Anthem Is It Anyway?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
I love this.
Okay.
I like that.
Well,
I'm
going to play. You have to use your names as your buzzers. Okay. I'm going to test them for me, please.
Sexual chocolate.
Oh, so you've got to get it all out, okay?
Sexual chocolate. Sexual chocolate.
All right, good. I like it.
Leroy.
have you been Leroy before?
No, LeBron.
I think I have been before.
You've been LeBron.
More importantly, Tony, I'm Leroy again.
Yeah. Okay, Leroy again and sexual chocolate. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to play anthems and you just buzz in when you recognize which country the anthem comes from. Okay. Here is your first anthem.
Sounds opera. Leroy.
Yes, Leroy.
Italy.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
It's got that bit about it.
As it turns out, you didn't sexual chocolate. Yeah, okay, no, so no. Leroy is 1 point. What about this one? Wow.
Like sexual chocolate.
Yeah, sexual chocolate.
That's not an anthem.
Doesn't sound like an anthem, but I think it is. Let's hope we get
it. Oh, that might be a trick thing.
There you go.
Leroy,
New Zealand.
Kiwis.
You can't just yell out the answer.
Remember I said sexual chocolate before. So I'm still like, I'm alive. 2-0.
Kiwis.
2-0, that's very good.
Yes.
Okay, and your third anthem. You should have waited.
This is bullshit.
Oh, wow. You're so angry.
I'm feeling dialed in, Tony. Play the next one.
Nothing. It's
no, nothing.
Russia.
Okay.
I guess go an easy one then for you.
Leroy.
Yes, Leroy.
US.
It is the USA. The score is 3-0.
Okay.
Okay, here's a tough one for you to get back in on sexual chocolate.
I don't want
to
play anymore.
Oh, you Leroy.
Yes, Leroy.
Ukrainian. It's not Ukrainian, but it does begin with U. It's a South American country.
Uruguay.
Yes, it is Uruguay.
Leroy.
Leroy. And finally, this is the last anthem. Leroy.
Yes, Leroy.
That's the Germans, baby.
What a crap segment. I just got clean swept then.
Yeah, I just got that out of my...
I was made to sing that when they won the World Cup a couple of years ago with my children.
Yeah, I know you were. Leroy wins 6-0.
It was 5.
Wow.
But,
has it been a more dominant performance?
I don't think ever.
You guys stitched me up then. You know what? It's just not fair. You're ganging up on me because Emma's not here today.
You know what? It'll work for you next time we play this. Don't mention Leroy.
Brent Reed joins us next.